I want to talk today and share with you about the Lord's Prayer, and particularly the first phrases of the Lord's Prayer. It used to be very familiar in our society and in our culture. Many would not remember the day, but I do, in grade school, when we started the morning with the Lord's Prayer. We used to sing God Save the Queen in there too. There were times we sang O Canada, and we honored things in our country. But the matter of our Christian faith, we came back to that Lord's Prayer, and we used to share that together. I'm going to ask you this morning, do you remember the Lord's Prayer? Let me lead you in it this morning. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day your daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I can't read that prayer. I can't recite it or go over it in my mind, except my mind goes back to Aunt Ruth. And Aunt Ruth was one of my first funerals. My mother-in-law, her sister, very demonstrative lady. And Mom could never talk to you without patting your hand or holding your arm or doing something. She's just one of those touchy-feely. I didn't come from that family. And so the whole touchy-feely thing was a little disconcerting for me. Ruth was just a different personality altogether and really became a second mother to Deborah, but then our children as they came along, because she moved to a senior's home close to where we were living and pastoring, and our kids used to go to see Aunt Ruth when they'd get off the bus when they came home from school. Aunt Ruth was a severe diabetic, didn't always pay the attention to that she should have, and she would give a few bills to Jordan and say, run over to the drugstore and get Aunt Ruth a chocolate bar, and you get one for you and Candace too, And the kids were back and forth, and they'd come home, weren't hungry for supper. And we could never figure out, well, they'd had a pudding cup, a chocolate bar, and a bag of chips. They'd been to Aunt Ruth's. Aunt Ruth went into congestive heart failure. And those days in the hospital, her sister, my mother-in-law, Dorothy, who's since passed on too, would sit with her through the day. Deborah would sit with Ruth in the evening and sit through until morning. And on the last evening, the last night of her life here on earth, there was no more measures to be taken. And the congestive heart failure was slowly drawing the life from her. And Deborah shared with me that in those hours, Ruth recited the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer. And then as her breath grew shorter and shorter, the prayer became shorter and shorter. And in her funeral service, I shared this line because in her dying moments, it was, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And she repeated that over and over until she slipped from this life into the arms of her Savior. When we finished that funeral, the funeral director was a new owner of that facility. We're in a little community, and he came to me and he said, are all of your funerals like that? I said, I'm not sure what you mean. Well, he said, there was a lot of singing. Well, my mother-in-law pretty much outlined what I was to do and where I was to be, and would check to see if my shoes were shined, and she was just that kind of lady. She took care of all the details. And she chose hymns that she knew that she and Ruth had sung from their childhood. Hymns of faith, hymns that spoke of their walk with God and their relationship with Him. The Lord's Prayer was part of their lives. And it was embedded in Ruth's heart, in her mind, but in her spirit. And in those waning hours of life, she called and focused on her Heavenly Father. I want to talk about fathers today. It's Father's Day. And I like the way that prayer opens. Our Father. God directs us. Jesus tells his disciples. The disciples had been around Jesus for all this time. They'd heard him pray. And yet they ask him earlier in this passage in Matthew, in chapter 6, they say, well, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray, Lord. And he guides them to this. The Lord's Prayer is an outline, actually. And when you break it down, there are seven main topics, main themes in there. The first one is our paternal need, our need for this Heavenly Father. And so when you pray and your needs are met through your times of prayer, those needs are met by the benevolence, the generosity, the compassion of our Heavenly Father. It's interesting, he could have said that, no, you'll respond to me as, O magnificent ruler, O creator of the universe. Could have been Almighty God. But he makes it personal, and he makes it Father. Our Father, who art in heaven. And the phrase indicates that God's not only majestic and holy, but he's personal and he's loving. And he wants to meet us on that level, child and father. The first line of the prayer is a model of this model prayer, rather. It's a statement. It's a statement of praise and of commitment to honor God's name. I have a lot of problems with language in the community and in day-to-day life. I've worked in factories. I've played some sports. I know there's another whole language out there. I know the words. I probably know what they mean. I just choose not to use them. But when people take the Lord's name in vain and they just throw it about casually, that's not honoring our Heavenly Father. Have you ever stopped someone? In an elevator in a hospital, and someone used the Lord's name in vain. And I said, yes, I know him too. He's my Savior. Boy, it got quiet and awkward in there in a hurry. It's awkward enough in an elevator. But all of a sudden, it was just kind of, oh. And I just said, that name's very personal to me. And I'd appreciate it if you didn't use that one. People don't throw it around casually. It's not a casual name to be used. And we honor God's name by being careful how we use it, and we give it respect. The Lord's Prayer is often called, you'll hear people from other churches or denominations to call it, the Our Father. That leans back towards the Latin for Lord's Prayer. But it's the way Jesus teaches us to pray. When you pray, pray this way. And as we begin to look at the Lord's Prayer, we're going to pause and take a look at the greeting, this first part. Because I like that aspect. I know that God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's omniscient. He knows all. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. But the scriptures tell me he desires a relationship with you and I, our Heavenly Father. And it's not, you go do this, you take care of that. It's not master and servant. It's father and child. That's an intimate relationship. And it appeals to me. I like that. In his book, A Layman Looks at the Lord's Prayer, Philip Keller, in the preface, he says, next to the 23rd Psalm, perhaps the most beloved and certainly the best known passage in Scripture is the Lord's Prayer. It's been repeated millions upon millions of times by countless numbers of human beings for nearly 20 centuries, and yet in spite of so much use, in spite of so much repetition, in spite of so much worldwide familiarity, it has never lost its luster, its appeal, its shine. It's still the Lord's Prayer. And it's just as relevant today as it was when Jesus taught it to a group of disciples. If we fully grasped this concept and this understanding of the Lord's Prayer, it would overturn a lot of our misunderstanding about God. I don't know how many people I've talked to, and it goes back in, what was it, the 70s or the 80s, where, you know, there was lines in popular culture, God will get you for that. You know, it was about the same time as somebody else was saying, the devil made me do it, and it was kind of abdicating any responsibility. God's not out to get us. And I tell folks, he's not standing with his arms crossed, Nor is he standing with a lightning bolt in each hand, ready to zap you when you've stepped out of line, when you know that you've failed to keep the life that he called you to. But I see our Heavenly Father with his arms open. In a few weeks, I will become a grandfather. Let that sink in. Yeah. Deborah's very happy to be married to a grandfather. Good thing you got me in my prime. Yeah. I noticed something when Lori came in with little Samuel today. And it stirs something in me. And I want to go and see that little face. I didn't reach out to hold him, but that's the first thing I thought of, was holding that little baby. It's been a long time since our children were young, but when someone passes me a baby, I go into this posture. I don't know why. It's not like the floor is moving and I need to hold my balance, but that just kind of settles in on me. Maybe it was all those countless nights. Not so much Jordan, Candace. It's always the girls now. But there was an issue there. We spent a lot of time watching late night TV and standing up walking the halls. But our Heavenly Father has that heart for you and I. And his arms are open wide. Come here. Come here. He goes on to say, many people have known harsh, hard, self-centered earthly fathers who cared very little for anyone but themselves, or perhaps their father was a weak-willed person who couldn't command even the respect from his own children, let alone anyone else. Poor representations of what father, a good father, should be. I ran into that when I was a youth pastor a number of years ago. And I came across a very disturbing fact that in that group of young people, they had a very low esteem for father. And as I looked into that, they came from difficult homes and harsh circumstances. And the thought crossed my mind, how am I going to relate to them the truths of God as your Heavenly Father when the example you've had has been a poor example and it's been difficult? And some of them confided that in me. I'm not good when they talk in the Bible about God being our Father. Because when I hear Father, it doesn't stir up a warm feeling in me. It's harsh and it's cold. In one of my publications I read at that time, came across a video series by Dawson McAllister. Dawson is in his 70s now. He still has one of the most listened to Christian talk radio shows coming out of Southern California. He's been at it for years and years. He has worked with youth and establishing relationship with youth, at making better relations in families, and he goes on in that. And he had produced this series. It was called Papa, Please Love Me. Please Love Me. Isn't that the cry of our hearts? We want someone to love us. It's probably why we still have a cat at our house, because it loves me best. There's something satisfying about sitting down to read a book and the thing just coming over and curling up in your lap. Deb doesn't curl up in my lap. But that little cat. And I thought the other day, I think I love that thing. How did that happen? But there's a show of affection. There's a place where we need to come to an understanding of our Heavenly Father. And that video series helped me with a group of young people. It helped to heal wounded hearts and wounded spirits and to bring them to a true understanding of their Heavenly Father, our Father who art in heaven. And we worked through a lot of issues and concerns. Did a lot of reading this week. A lot of it was government issued and related to precautions we would take. But in my study time for our sermon, I looked at another author. It was Catherine Shirley, and she has a book that's called Pray Deep, The Lord's Prayer. She said, we're learning about how God would like us to pray, how we would converse with him. And even Jesus' closest friends wanted to know, how do we talk to the Father? How do we talk to the Heavenly Father? And the disciples were with Jesus all the time. And like I said, they knew. They'd heard him pray, and yet they wanted that knowledge. How are we best to address our Heavenly Father? And Jesus, before he gives them this prayer, he says we should keep our prayers simple. He says that we should keep our prayers short. It doesn't have to be a big, elongated piece of verbiage. God knows. And even if you don't have the right or fancy words, Jesus said you don't need to show off. Because in their day and culture, there were those who would stop on a street corner, throw their arms up, and begin to call upon God for the sake of everyone else to be able to see them doing it, to show how pious they were, how religious and faithful they were. And often it was just a lot of noise. She went on to say, we need to tell God our needs. He wants us to pray in a quiet place with our own words. We need to give God thanks. We need to praise him and tell him what we're sorry for and ask for his forgiveness in our lives. Don't you think sometimes our prayers just become like the shopping list that you take into No Frills? I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. And God says, come first and commune with me. Come and worship in that place of prayer. I know, it happens to me too. There's times you rush in. I've got this much time, I want to do my daily devotions, I want to meet with God, and you plow into it. And there are other times I back out and say, I'm sorry, Father. I didn't even say good morning. I didn't even thank you for being the consistent Heavenly Father that you are in my life. The one that's met the needs in the times past. The time that's been the one who's been there through my times of stress and sorrow. The one who stood with me when no one else would. And you speak to him. And you build relationship. Our Father, which art in heaven, means we're praying to our Heavenly Father who's in heaven. We have earthly fathers. This is our Heavenly Father. And God likes it when we call him Father. In the Old Testament, you find God referred to about 7 times as Father. But then you come to the New Testament and it's over 70 times. Because Jesus came to reveal the Father to us. In the Old Testament, it was sacrifices and prayer and obedience and lifestyle, the way that it was very structured and dictated. And God was seen as fierce and unapproachable. And then the Son comes. And Jesus shed light on that for us and showed us the relationship to our Heavenly Father, our Father who art in heaven. Most Christians know the prayer off by heart. In fact, around the world, Christians know this prayer in their own language. You've come across different versions, perhaps. It's also found in Matthew 6 here, but also in Luke 11. And it's calling us. It's calling us to draw near to our Heavenly Father, to draw close in relationship, in that place of holy reverence and a place of confidence. Because for many of us, you could go to your Father and ask him for something. You had a certain way that you approached Dad, a different way of approaching Mom. And there was a time when you needed something and you'd go to talk to your Heavenly Father. There was a 70 Skylark GS sitting on the corner lot, silver with a white vinyl top, mag wheels, 60 series tires. I really needed that car. I did. And I was short a few dollars. I had some money saved. And my dad said, good experience for you. We're going to go to the bank and take out a loan. My dad. I said, you'd help me. Yeah, I'm there for you. We're going to be there. We'll sign the papers together. My name will be right beside yours. And we borrowed, I think it was $1,500 back then to seal the deal. And we went to the car dealership and I drove home in that car. Now, we drive different when Dad's in the car. Understand? That's still the fact now. Just I would drive differently when my father's in the car. Back then, drove very differently. A whole lot differently when my friends were in the car. But he left me with this. You're welcome to this. You keep up those payments. And then he got very serious and he looked me straight in the eye and leaned into me and he said, the first payment you miss, the car is mine and I'll sell it. That was all the motivation I needed. I kept that car, I kept the payments up, and I don't think my father ever drove that car. But he was willing to meet me in my place of need and help me and pave the way towards making that purchase. Our Heavenly Father is there for us, not just as some sort of sugar daddy where he throws out treats to us, but in the everyday events of life, in your place of employment, in your need of employment, for health in your life and your family, for blessing and favor as you go and you're dealing with difficult situations, for days when you think the sun will never shine and it's going to be dark forever. He is the light of the world. And through Jesus, he shines into our lives. And he says, come here, come here. And he wraps his arms around us. And he comforts us. Our Heavenly Father, at an infinite cost to himself, the creator of the universe, your maker and mine, has called us, undeserving as we were. The scripture says, while we were yet unlovely, Christ died for us. Wasn't because of anything we'd done. It was because of his great love for us, our Heavenly Father. And he calls us to himself. And in his holiness and in his glory, he looks at you and I, and he sees Jesus. He sees Jesus in us. My hope and prayer is that people see Jesus in me, that people see Jesus in you. You've read the little phrase somewhere that sometimes the only Bible people will read is you. They'll read your life. St. Francis of Assisi said, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Live a life that makes Dad proud, your Heavenly Father. We're repeatedly invited to pray as God's children. He calls us that way. Come and pray. Speak with us. But there's times that we get busy. We get busy in life. And we hit our prayer time and it's just a time of, I'm going to get this done and check it off the list today. And there's times that we're aware, I'm aware of my need and I sincerely need his help. But have you ever doubted that God would come through? Doubt is the opposite to faith. Faith is knowing that God is there and that his promise is he will not leave you. He won't forsake you. He'll be there to cover you with his wings. I like the imagery throughout the scripture. And yet there's times that I doubt, and that clouds my mind, and I pull myself back to that place, and I ask the Lord to help me. If you ever ask Jesus to even come in and, Jesus, take those thoughts out of my mind. Stop, just clear my mind, my thoughts, and let me focus on the life that you have for me. To live the way that you call me to live, so that I could be the example in the circle of acquaintance that I have, in the community, the friends, and the family, that they would see in me Jesus, and through him see our Father, our Heavenly Father. There's times that we feel quite confident coming to God in prayer, as though we've earned the right to pray because of all the good that we've been doing. Scripture says all of our good works are like filthy rags. Doesn't amount to a whole lot. What he calls for, what he sent Jesus to establish, is a place of relationship for you and I, that we would know him as Father. I went through a dark spell after finishing up at a church and had some difficulty, and Deborah encouraged me. She said, you need to go see a doctor. You need to talk to somebody about this. And that didn't happen until she said one night, you're scaring the children. We never know what mood you're going to be in. And it was depression that I didn't realize had settled in on me. Met with a Christian doctor, and he helped me through that, walked with me through the experience. He said, I'm going to send you to a counselor. I want you to meet with this fella. He said, he's a Christian man, and he'll walk with you through this and help you. So in the days that followed, there was homework assignments. I thought you'd come in, have your appointment, and move on, but there were homework assignments. And the one day the assignment was, I want you to go home and write an angry letter to your father. I said, excuse me? I want you to go home and write an angry letter to your father. Well, I said, I don't think I'm angry with my father. Yeah, you'll find it. You'll sit down, you'll start to write. You need to write that. And I went home, and each night I'd sit and look at the blank paper and think, what am I going to write on this? I'm really not angry with my father. So I came back the next week. He said, oh, I see you've got your paper with you. Can I see it? And I passed it over to him. It was blank. I said, I don't understand this at all. Why would we be writing that? Well, he said, a lot of men have issues in their lives because of their relationship with their father. He said, recognize that no one's had a perfect father because their father before them wasn't perfect. And you do the best you can in your family situation with God's help. I said, I haven't got an angry word for my dad. You know, and then he tried to find more answers and more things, and I said, I'm not there. Was he perfect? No. He's just like everyone else. He's got his own challenges and shortcomings. But I never doubted his love for me. On your darkest day, you can stand firm in the understanding and the knowledge that your Heavenly Father loves you, that he cares for you, that he's watching out for you. We quote often the passage out of Jeremiah, he's got plans for your life, not to harm you, but to give you hope in a future. We have a Heavenly Father who loves us. Bible teacher some years back asked his group that night as they were sharing what their favorite part was from the parable of the prodigal son. Well, some said it was when the son came to his senses and he headed for home, and others when dad met him out in the roadway and embraced him and welcomed him back into the family. The Bible teacher shared that his favorite part of the story was when the young man came and said, Father, I want my inheritance now, my part of the estate. Dad divided the estate and gave his portion to the young man and let him go. And he explained the reason that he liked that, because it examples unconditional love. The father loved him. Even though the son was taking a path he didn't agree with, he loved him. Our Heavenly Father gave us free will. It gives us the opportunity to make a choice and a decision. It was out of our free will that we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord. It changed our lives. It turned us around. It gave us hope in our hearts. It put a song there that we spoke of earlier. That free will was a gift from our Heavenly Father out of his unconditional love. Our Father who art in heaven, our Heavenly Father is waiting like the father of the prodigal son. And one day we'll meet him, and he'll meet us with arms open wide and embrace us and say, welcome home. Welcome home, our Father who art in heaven. Would you bow with me as we draw to a close this morning? Heavenly Father, we've walked through some uncertain days. We're still in the midst of a current situation with the virus concerns, and we're not sure what from one day to another, how that all will develop. But Father, we've placed our hope, our faith, our trust, our families, our lives, we've placed in your care. And we rest confidently there, knowing that you watch over us, you care for us, and that you do have a plan for our lives. Father, I pray that you would continue to reveal yourself to us as we meet with you in the time of prayer, as we converse with you, as we offer our worship and our praise to you, that you would continue to speak to our heart, grant guidance to our steps, and place the confidence in our heart that you have more for us yet. So, Father, as you release us out into the community, I pray that you would go before us. Give us opportunity to share the hope, the reason for the hope that we have in our hearts and our lives, that we'd be able to share Jesus Christ. Father, even with virus concerns, that this week opportunity would arise By your Holy Spirit, grant us the words to say, the confidence to share those words, to point someone else to their Heavenly Father who is in heaven. For your people this day, I ask your blessing, that your peace would rest upon each heart and life, that you'd keep them safe from the health concerns that surround us at this time. Father, as you continue to pour out your blessing on your people, make us a blessing to those around us. We humbly ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you go this morning. We'll see you next week.